You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Dodgers are keeping up just fine in the NL West as we get close to entering the second month of the season. I'm Allison Footer. I'm here with Ken Gernick. Talk a little bit about the Dodgers, Ken. I thought this was interesting. Okay, so Scott Kazmir has been having some discomfort with an injured left thumb in his wrist, dealing with it since spring training. And I don't know, I found it kind of amusing just that you speculated it was caused from maybe swinging the bat too much during spring training. He's a lifelong American League pitcher, and now he's in the National League, so he had to get some at-bats at spring training, and maybe that messed up his wrist a little bit?
Yeah, that's the way he's explained it, yeah. And not the first time I've heard of that type of injury for a pitcher coming over to the National League who isn't used to hitting. And, I mean, a lot of pitchers get hurt trying to hit, you know, partly because that's not what they're really paid to do. So it's a little out of their element, except for, you know, an occasional guy like Zach Greinke. And, you know, apparently he just became inflamed with taking too much batting practice in spring training, and he says that that he doesn't injure it pitching. He only hurts it or re-injures it when he swings the bat. So I guess that means he won't be swinging the bat very much, which you don't have to be a genius scout to figure this one out. But so he's probably going to be bunting. But you know, more to the point, it has affected his ability to stay on top of the ball. And instead, he kind of comes around the side of it because, you know, subconsciously or otherwise, he feels that pain and so compensates, and his pitches are kind of flatter and more from left to right than he wants them to be, and as a result, he's been pretty hittable. So he's going to have to show that he can get past this, whether it's a mechanical thing or a psychological thing or a physical thing. Otherwise, he'll have to go on the DL to let it calm down and completely heal. He's been pitching through it and not pitching that well. So it's kind of a test that he's going to have to clear.
Yeah, so the wrist thing was from swinging the bat. The left thumb problem, is that related to that too?
Yeah, actually what it is it's where the thumb, at the very base of the thumb, meets the wrist.
Ah.
And so that whole area is kind of inflamed. And so it's not the thumb as far as high up, but it's low down where it meets the wrist.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so let's talk a little about A.J. Ellis. I was reading some Dodgers coverage, and there were some questions about Austin Barnes, who is, I guess, like the catcher in waiting, you could say. I've seen a lot of catchers in waiting, though, in the big leagues that, you know, the teams are more hesitant to try to work them in and work out a veteran just because of all of the other things that a veteran catcher needs to do. Kind of a risk, I guess, developing a young catcher in the big leagues. And with Kershaw liking pitching to Ellis, he works well with the whole staff. I mean, there's still a lot of value in him, even if his offense isn't quite there. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, that's why he is up in the big leagues and not Barnes. You know, part of it is the Kershaw thing. Part of it is that Ellis is almost like an assistant coach because he knows the league so well. He knows the pitching staff well because he's been around it. And also he knows pitching coach Rick Honeycutt's method for attacking opposing hitters. So he's pretty much like a coach in addition to the backup catcher. You remove him, you're not only losing a backup catcher, but you're missing a key part of the preparation for the game plan each game. Even in games that he's not catching, he's often in that meeting helping Grandal and the pitcher for that night prepare for the game because of his knowledge of the hitters and the approach. So the Dodgers feel, while Barnes has great value and could very well become a catcher, you know, on the big league roster in the future, that for now A.J. Ellis provides too much value not to have him.
A free agent after this season, I guess there might be, depending on how the year goes, but there might be some temptation to bring him back on like a short-term deal just to ensure that they're still okay that way.
Well, he'll have some suitors for sure, even though he's 35. Like I said, he brings added value because of his knowledge, his ability to work with pitchers. He's become a clutch hitter if you see what he's done in the postseason. He doesn't get flustered. And he just has a lot of intangibles that might not show up, you know, in the metrics today. But when you watch him around the team, you have a real appreciation for his value.
So I keep telling myself I'm not going to bring up Kenta Maeda. I'm going to skip talking about him. But I have to. I mean, I have to ask you about him because, like, he's had one earned run allowed in his first four starts at the 0.36 ERA. This isn't just any kind of fluky thing. This guy looks to be for real. Is he as impressive to watch? I've not watched him pitch. You have, as his numbers show on paper.
Well, he's got no flaws so far, for sure. You know, I think the question is going to be, as the season goes by and teams see him for a second and third time, and he starts racking up innings at a pace, you know, to put him over 200, will he have the same effectiveness? You know, he's not built like most of the successful Japanese pitchers that have come over to the United States. He's kind of slender and slight. He doesn't throw particularly hard. He's really about 90, 91 miles an hour. He has a four-pitch mix, so he's more of a pitcher than a thrower. That doesn't mean he's not going to be successful for the next 10 years. But we don't know. Nobody's seen him at this level over the course of a full season. But up to this point, you can't fault him. You know, he's got to be in consideration right now for Rookie of the Year, even though, you know, the Dodger contender was supposed to be Corey Seager, who's had a decent start, but, you know, nothing like what Maeda's done.
No, it takes those kind of guys to push a team that's in contention, maybe a little over the top. You know, these guys that come out of nowhere and to help out. So good stuff. It's going to be fun to watch him the rest of the season. So, Ken, thanks so much. Talk to you next week.
Okay, Allison, thank you.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.